Hi, I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, and I want to tell you a little bit about myself before we get started. I have a bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of Florida, a master's degree in education from Armstrong Atlantic State University, and a doctorate in education from Georgia Southern University. I'm a certified clinical hypnotherapist, a member of both the American Board of Hypnotherapy and the National Guild of Hypnotists, and I'm president of the American Alliance of Hypnotists. I'm the director of the Steve G. Jones School of Clinical Hypnotherapy. I also serve on the board of directors of the American Lung Association in Los Angeles. I have over 2 decades of experience in hypnotherapy, and I still maintain a busy practice and teaching schedule because I see clients and teach classes worldwide. My client base consists mainly of people who want to lose weight, stop smoking, or gain confidence. Other clients include sales teams interested in boosting motivation and increasing income. Also, singles looking for love, insomniacs desiring proper sleep, and actors desiring more confidence for their next audition. When I travel to see clients and teach hypnotherapy certification classes around the world, I visit such places as Tokyo, Japan, Barcelona, Spain, Paris, France, London, England, Montreal, Canada, Los Angeles, California, and New York, just to name a few. By the way, since you have an interest in hypnosis, perhaps you'd be interested in becoming a certified clinical hypnotherapist. It's very easy to do. All you have to do is go to my website, betterlivingwithhypnosis.com, and click on Hypnosis Classes at the top. You can either train in person or online. After your training, you'll be added to our worldwide directory of certified clinical hypnotherapists, and you'll receive a certificate. I was fortunate for many years to have my office in Beverly Hills, California, where I worked with such wonderful people as Tom Mankiewicz, the writer of Superman, Geraldine Saunders, the writer of The Love Boat, and many other celebrities. I have been interviewed on CNN, Fox News, and appeared on True TV, in addition to having my own hypnosis TV show. With my over 20 years of experience, I'm happy to share with you techniques that I've both developed and learned which can help you improve your life. I encourage you to visit my website, betterlivingwithhypnosis.com. There you will find my life's work, 22 books on hypnotherapy, over 3,000 hypnosis recordings available as downloadable MP3s or CDs, and these recordings will program your mind to achieve goals in such areas as weight loss, motivation, and stopping smoking. I also have audiobooks, such as this one, where I'm talking with you and sharing with you in a very dynamic way techniques that you can use to improve your life and the way you do things. The reason I'm telling you all of this is not to impress you, but to impress upon you that I, your teacher, am very capable and I know what I'm talking about. I'm also very happy for the opportunity to share this information with you, so rest assured that you're in good hands and let's have some fun as we now expand your knowledge. I wish you well in all of your endeavors and please be sure to visit my website, betterlivingwithhypnosis.com. Before following any of the advice on this recording, always consult with a medical doctor. Also, be sure to verify the research in this recording with a medical doctor. This research was gathered by me and is not meant to be absolutely authoritative. So, check the facts. Hi, I'm Steve G. Jones, and welcome to the 4-module program on substance abuse. You know, there's no exception for getting professional treatment for substance abuse. This is because many substances, such as heroin, alcohol, and some opiates, have a chance of fatality if the withdrawal is not handled correctly. Therefore, if you have a substance abuse problem, you must always see a medical professional, and just listening to this program alone will not be enough. Did you know drug and substance addiction is considered a disease that can be treated? When studies first began on drugs and other substances, addiction was thought to be a decreased willpower and a lack of morals, but now it is looked upon completely differently. drug addiction comes about after the persistent use of drugs. Developing tolerance for the drug is a part of the addiction. There's also something called drug-seeking behavior, which develops as the person becomes more and more addicted and may participate in actions they otherwise wouldn't in order to find their fix. Almost all drugs have a very negative effect on the brain, and they stifle the brain functions of learning, thinking in general, and memory. With many drugs, after quitting, there's the possibility that permanent damage to the brain has already taken place and will show itself in thinking and memory patterns. There are many different types of drugs, and those different types come in different forms. There are many complications that can arise, not just from brain function, but also complications involving the rest of the body. So I'd like now to illustrate for you the most frequently used drugs and their negative effects on the body. It's my hope that by sharing this, you will become enlightened about drug use and the damaging effects it has. Keep in mind, I am not a medical doctor, nor am I a licensed therapist. So if you need help with drug treatment, always seek the advice of a professional, licensed therapist, or a doctor. The information that I'm about to share with you is simply from the research I have done and should not necessarily be taken as authoritative. Always consult with a medical doctor to get the facts about drugs. First, let's talk about marijuana. In the United States, this is the most frequently used illegal drug. At the time I'm making this recording, 2009, marijuana use has decreased, with less than 1 in 5 American students admitting to being current users. Marijuana can easily be detected with a simple store-bought drug test. The substance stays in the body for up to 2 weeks after smoking. Teens most often admit to using marijuana because of peer pressure. Other factors include how it is displayed in the media, family history of users, and the drug user's history of sexual and physical abuse. Short-term effects of marijuana include memory and learning problems, distorted sense of taste, smell, and touch, difficulty thinking, loss of motor coordination, and increased heart rate. Long-term effects include loss of interest in favorite activities, lethargy, and risky behavior. Because motor skills are delayed, the chances of getting into a car accident are much higher if the driver has been using marijuana. Over time, these sorts of effects can make even the simplest task very difficult to accomplish. It's important to know that there is a high possibility that habitual marijuana users may find that marijuana affects negatively their quality of life. Being around those that sell marijuana may increase the chances of getting more powerful and potent drugs that are more dangerous than marijuana. Because of this, marijuana is known as a gateway drug. Marijuana smoke contains many of the same cancer-causing chemicals as cigarettes. Smoking 5 marijuana joints a day is equal to intaking an entire pack of cigarettes. Tolerance and addiction have been known to develop among habitual users. The more often you intake the drug, the more tolerance you develop, which can further turn into an addiction, resulting in the intake of more and more powerful amounts. Many drug rehabilitation facilities have clients who are addicted to marijuana and often experience typical withdrawal symptoms such as restlessness, insomnia, loss of appetite, and shaky hands. Concerning treatment, there are a variety of possible treatments for marijuana dependency. While there are no medications available for marijuana addiction, therapy has been shown to greatly improve the chances of quitting and eliminating dependency. Cognitive behavioral therapy is designed to change the way individuals feel about using the drug. Individual and group therapy is designed to help the client get to the core of why they started using drugs and help them to overcome cravings to start using the drugs again. Support groups such as Narcotics Anonymous can help to create an atmosphere where others can share their experiences and help each other get over their addictions. Although marijuana is not a narcotic, this group can still be of benefit. Communication is key. If you know someone who is destructively using marijuana, communicate with them and try to make them understand how upsetting it is for you to see them this way. For parents, it is important to speak to your children before you think they are using drugs. Marijuana use is completely preventable, and studies have shown that children whose parents are more open with them are less likely to use drugs. Club drugs. These are drugs that are most often available in the club scene. and they're most often used by white individuals, but they have recently become more popular among gay males. They include ecstasy, GBH, ketamine or special K, and Rohypnol. Ecstasy is another club drug. The effects given off are those of energy and emotional warmth. It is chemically similar to methamphetamine, and it can cause hallucinations as well. Ecstasy affects serotonin, the chemical responsible for emotional responses such as sleep, sexual activity, mood, aggression, and sensitivity to pain. Also with ecstasy, bad health effects on the body include muscle tension, involuntary teeth clenching, nausea, blurred vision, faintness, chills, and sweating. When taken in high doses, it can interfere with the body's ability to regulate temperature, which can result in liver damage, kidney damage, cardiovascular system shutdown, and eventual death. According to research, in 2006, an estimated 2.1 million children ages 12 and older had admitted to trying ecstasy at least once. Let's take a look at GBH, gamma hydroxybutyrate. This is a central nervous system depressant that is approved for the treatment of narcolepsy, a sleep disorder. It is naturally found in the brain, but at much lower doses. It is known to increase the processing of protein in the body and is often used to increase muscle mass in bodybuilders. It is colorless, tasteless, and odorless, and has been known to be used as the date rape drug. Mixed with alcohol, it can have adverse effects such as nausea and difficulty breathing. It has also been known to be the cause of comas and seizures. Doctors have little knowledge about the effects of GBH, but they have been able to successfully treat patients who have overdosed. Withdrawal symptoms are insomnia, anxiety, tremors, and sweating. Now let's take a look at Rohypnol. It is chemically considered Xanax and Valium, which are both benzodiazepines. In the United States, this drug is not approved for any treatment. It can also be used as a date rape drug. Mixed with alcohol, it can make the victim detached and less likely to resist a sexual assault. Also, if mixed with alcohol, it can be lethal. It is known to cause amnesia, therefore the memory of the drug trip may not be present after the drug wears off. Tolerance can develop, and therefore an addiction may also. Withdrawal from similar benzodiazepines is known to be lethal, so medical treatment involves emergency medical services, combined with 24-hour monitoring of withdrawal symptoms and 3 to 5 day detoxification during a hospital stay. Ketamine, also known as Special K, and most often used in veterinary practices, is considered a dissociative anesthetic, which means that it causes detachment from the environment with the impairment of thinking abilities. At higher doses, it can cause hallucinations and dreamlike states. It can also cause delirium and amnesia. Users have been known to binge on drugs, taking them repeatedly at short intervals. In high doses, the drug can potentially cause respiratory problems and even be lethal. Emergency room care focuses on cardiac and respiratory issues. Let's take a look at methamphetamine. This is a central nervous system stimulant that may be medicinally prescribed, but with no refills due to the possibility of abuse. It is illegally brought into the United States and developed in offshore science labs, and in the United States, it is also developed in home labs, which pose threats to people, surrounding neighborhoods, and the environment. Methamphetamine increases the production of the hormone dopamine in the brain, which is responsible for motivation, pleasure, and motor functions. Chronic use can result in changes in memory. Short-term effects include wakefulness, increased physical activity, decreased appetite, decreased respiration, rapid heartbeat, irregular heartbeat, increased blood pressure, and hyperthermia. Long-term effects include extreme weight loss, dental problems, anxiety, confusion, insomnia, mood changes, and violent behavior. Like all other narcotics, the drug impairs a person's judgment, making them more susceptible to performing or doing questionable acts, including the sharing of needles, which can lead to HIV or unprotected sex, which can also lead to other forms of STDs. Treatment, among other things, involves contingency management, which is the management and prevention of relapse. Now let's turn our attention to cocaine. It is derived from the coca plant. It is a central nervous system stimulant that increases the amount of dopamine produced in the brain. Usually, when dopamine is released, it is then taken back in and recycled. Cocaine stops the dopamine from getting recycled, and therefore, there is an excess of dopamine in the brain, which gives off a euphoric feeling. Short-term effects include increased energy, reduced fatigue, and mental alertness. Depending on the way the drug is administered, the amount of time required for it to take effect differs. If it is smoked, it is quickly internalized, and the high lasts on average 5 to 10 minutes. If it is injected, the high can last up to 30 minutes. Because of this, many users go on binges, during which they continue ingesting more and more of the drug in shorter periods of time. Regardless of how often cocaine is used, almost everyone has a risk of going into cardiovascular or cerebrovascular shock, such as having a heart attack or stroke. This may result in sudden death. If cocaine is inhaled, complications can result with the nasal sensory cavity. You may experience loss of your sense of smell, excessive nosebleeds, hoarseness, problems swallowing, or a chronic runny nose. Ingesting cocaine can have adverse effects on the stomach. Bowel gangrene may occur, which is the death of tissue due to a lack of blood flow. Many users often suffer from full-blown psychotic episodes. This can result in loss of touch with reality and hallucinations. Mixing cocaine with alcohol makes a concoction known as coca ethylene. This poses a greater risk of death than using cocaine alone. Treatment includes cognitive behavioral therapy and intervention. Both social support and cognitive behavioral therapy have been known to be highly effective. No medication is available for cocaine addiction, but behavioral therapy has been proven to be very effective. If you know someone who is using cocaine, the best thing to do is stage an intervention, though it may be difficult. Due to the effects of the drug, many addicts are violent, detached from their family and friends, and exhibit behavior that is not like them. Heroin is synthesized from morphine, which is a powerful painkiller. It's a powerful opioid that is derived from the seeds of the Asian opium poppy. It is highly addictive, no matter how it is ingested, and has a very high chance of causing overdose, which can cause death. In the brain, heroin is transformed into morphine and attaches to the opioid receptors. These receptors are responsible for regulating blood pressure, breathing, and arousal. Overdosing generally involves complications with respiration. Tolerance develops with habitual users that can alter chemical activity in the brain and lead to a full-blown addiction. As with all other intravenous drugs, the sharing of needles leads to the high probability of contracting hepatitis and HIV. Heroin can result in miscarriage. If a woman uses the substance while pregnant, there is a chance the baby may be born addicted to it as well. After a long period of time of using, some people may develop collapsed veins at the site of the injection, liver and kidney disease, and pulmonary complications. Damage is most often permanent and irreversible. Quitting abruptly can result in severe withdrawal symptoms such as restlessness, muscle and bone pain, insomnia, diarrhea, vomiting, cold flashes, and kicking movements. Sudden quitting by habitual and heavy users who are in bad health is occasionally fatal. Treatment for heroin addicts includes behavior therapies as well as medication. Detoxification with the use of medication is usually not enough. In order to fully prevent the possibility of relapse, behavior therapy and support are highly recommended. Along with support for detoxification, contingency management is always highly effective. Contingency management is a program that prevents the likeliness of relapse. The program may use points that are rewards for a negative drug test, and these points can be used to buy things. Most of the time, rehabilitation services are housed, which means that the addicts are put into facilities rather than allowed to stay in their homes. Let's take a look at LSD, also known as acid. It is processed from a fungus that grows on grains. Usually it is ingested or absorbed from paper into the skin. A high lasts typically up to 12 hours. It is a very potent hallucinogen. Hallucinations occur and may often be experiences such as crossed-over senses. This may include seeing sounds and hearing colors. LSD is not addictive, but can have adverse effects such as flashbacks. Flashbacks are a glimpse back to the trip, where the memory of the event returns to the user. This may often result in reducing the quality of life and cause social and functional impairments. Short-term effects include increased body temperature, increased blood pressure, increased heart rate, dilated pupils, loss of appetite, dry mouth, tremors, sleeplessness, and excessive sweating. Oftentimes, people on this drug may have what is called a bad trip, during which they become afraid of what they are seeing during the hallucinations and become violent or suicidal. Treatment for bad trips is usually seclusion in a quiet area with little sensory stimulation. Sometimes benzodiazepines are used to relieve agitation of severe reactions to the drug. Let's take a look now at PCP, or phencyclidine. It was first discovered as an intravenous anesthetic, but its use was discontinued due to adverse effects. Patients were often agitated, delusional, and irrational when coming off the anesthetic, and this is why the medicinal use of the drug was discontinued. It also causes hallucinations, which distort the user's perception of reality. It acts through the receptors in the brain responsible for pain, responses to the environment, and memory. It produces a numbing feeling, but is known to cause violent and erratic behavior. Long-term users often experience memory loss, difficulty with speech and cognition, depression, and weight loss. These symptoms may persist long after the user has stopped using the drug. Also, it can be addictive. Side effects of mild doses include increased heart rate, increased blood pressure, increased pulse, shallow breathing, excessive sweating, loss of muscular coordination, and numbness of the extremities. At high doses, effects include high blood pressure, elevated heart rate, elevated pulse, decreased respiration rate, nausea, vomiting, blurred vision, drooling, erratic movements of eyelids, imbalance, and dizziness. Users often become violent and suicidal and have the possibility of posing threat to themselves and those around them. Mixing this drug with other central nervous system depressants, such as alcohol and benzodiazepines or sleeping pills, can lead to a coma. But like all drug addictions, it is recommended to use CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, as well as inpatient therapy. Concerning drug abuse in general, it is never recommended to take medicine that is not prescribed for you. Common prescription drugs that are abused are CNS, or central nervous system depressants, stimulants, and opioids or painkillers. Prescribed medicines are known to work well for a variety of different illnesses, but they have the ability of becoming addictive if not taken properly or taken by someone to whom they have not been prescribed. All right, let's take a little break now. I want to make sure that you're with me, that you're paying attention and that you're learning something. So what I want you to do right now is, if you're driving and you can pull over, go ahead and do that. If you're not driving, then you can definitely do this. You can take out a piece of paper and you can write down 5 things that you've learned so far from what I've said. 5 things that resonated with you. Now, I want you to keep in mind, they don't even have to be 5 things that I said. Maybe you got some good ideas from what I said. Maybe I said something and your brain took it and blew it up a million times and came up with all kinds of wonderful, amazing possibilities based on what I said. If that's the case, then feel free to write that down. I just want you to write down 5 things, whether they came from me or they're just thoughts that came in your head. 5 things that have come to you so far, either from me saying them or from you thinking them, as a result of listening to this program so far. So as I'm silent, I'm going to give you ample time now. I want you to write down 5 things, 5 thoughts that you have as a result of listening to this program so far. Do this now. Okay, do you have your five things? If not, go ahead and finish them up. Five things, write them down. So I'm going to move forward now. Let's take those five things that you have written down, and I want you to elaborate on them. For example, if you have an insight number one, that's I should change blank about myself, whatever it may be, I want you to elaborate on that. Whatever you've written down for point number one, something that's come to you during listening to this program, I want you to elaborate on that now as I'm silent. Good. And now I want you to take point number two and elaborate on that. What was the second point that you wrote down, and how can you enhance this idea? I want you to make it real for yourself, because I want you to have, after you finish this program, something you can use. So on point number two, elaborate on it. Consider what you wrote down as point number two, the foundation. Now build a house on it. Go ahead and write down something now as I'm silent. Good. Now you're getting some momentum. Now for point three. Point number three that you wrote down, something that came to you as you listened to this program, I want you to elaborate on point number three as I'm silent. Good. Now take point number four, the fourth point that you wrote down, something that came to you while you're listening to this program. I want you to elaborate on point number four as I'm silent. Great. Last but not least, point number five. Take point number five and elaborate on it as I'm silent. Good. So now you have something that you can take with you after this program. You have those five points that you elaborated on, and you can use them after this program's over. So let's continue on with the information now.